Hey, IP note, anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributors to any CCG work items must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreement signed. And you can go to this W3 CCG site to join. That's located here at this link. And that will require you to have a W3 web account first. It's free. And the text of the community contributor license agreement is available at this link. Call notes. These minutes and an audio recording of everything said on this call are archived in the meetings repo of CCG GitHub account. And the link to that is here. And just cue yourself to speak on the call. Just type Q plus into chat. Okay, introductions and reminders. Anyone new to the call today that would like to introduce themselves? If so, just unmute yourself and talk. Anyone like to reintroduce themselves? Okay, looks like we have a bunch of regulars today. Okay, announcements and reminders. We were supposed to be trying Jitsi today, but I had a couple of problems. So we will be on to switch to Jitsi next week. So you are here on Zoom. So that's probably obvious, but yes, next week we will switch to Jitsi. We'll start with the orientation at the beginning of it to just quickly show you how to use it, Scribe and everything. We'll send out the link, which is just a web link. You just join. You don't have to install anything. You can connect on a mobile app. Jitsi has an app you can use if you want. And then lastly, we do have some conference bridges if you prefer to call in over voice. So those will all be in next week's meeting invite. That is all that we have for the intro stuff. So Carrie, if you're ready to take over with the ongoing discussion on open badge verifiable credentials, I think we're ready for you, and I can paste the slides into here.
Awesome, thank you. Can you hear me okay? Because I have an air conditioner on behind me, just to make sure I am clear enough to be heard.
Yeah,
okay. I am gonna go ahead and share my screen. And hello everybody. Today I am working from Rhode Island. I'm visiting family in New England. So I'm on one laptop without my my dual screen. See, my presentation is coming from there today. These slides are the same slides we've been using over the past few weeks, and I'm just adding content to them. So for those of you who haven't been on the call or on the call so far, I'm just gonna show you that what we've been doing is discussing open badges and verifiable credentials, open badges as verifiable credentials. We are working on this at the IMS Global Open Badges Working Group, and we wanted to have these discussions here because we've been thinking, this group has been talking about verifiable credentials in education, and we thought, well, why don't we discuss what is one way of doing this? One way of doing this, one credential is open badges. So I'm not gonna go through all of these slides because this is what the discussions have been every time, but feel free to walk through these and see my pretty diagrams here, especially on slides 2 and 4. What I wanna point us to though is slide 5, because we're gonna be sort of starting from here and then going to slide 7. So slide 5 is like an overall example of an open badges VC assertion. And so this is a full on, this is what it would look like, or very close to what it should look like for an open badge as a verifiable credential. This is still being worked on, being proposed at IMS Global right now. And I'm going to take you here to slide 7. where we have two other examples. And this is what we're going to talk about today, which is more focused on the actual content of the credential. And in verifiable credentials, we're talking about the credential subject. And today we're talking about what a badge class example of a verifiable credential subject would look like. So the first link in this slide goes directly to the VC data model spec. I'm going to open it up here. Okay, so this is a credential subject property. And in this example, it has one ID, which is the, in open badges, this would be the recipient. This is a DID example of a recipient. And what they did in this data model example is they created something called a degree, and the type is a bachelor degree. That is a very, very simple use example of a credential subject. The next one is a little bit more complex, and this would illustrate something that'd be different in verifiable credentials and would be different in open badges, which a credential subject can be an array of claims. So it could actually be two different claims going to two different recipients. But you'll see that the issuer, you don't see it actually because the issuer isn't in here, but it would be the same issuer for both of these. So then if you go back to the slides and you click on the second link is an example of an open badges badge class inside of a credential subject. And this is what we're working on now in the proposal at IMS Global. So here it looks a little bit different. And let me just go to the full view here. So this is the same setup. Right, this is the credential subject. Then we have this ID, which is the recipient ID. And in a week or so, when we have a chance, we can talk about what could go in here for an open badge. But right now in this example, it's a decentralized identifier. And then in here, what we've been talking about in this group overall, I'm looking at this at IMS Global too, which is using schema.org's property has credential, which it references an education or occupational credential. And what we have in here, what you'll see is looks very simple. It's very similar to a badge class, right? So we have this ID, which is the canonical URL that references a badge class, the badge class JSON-LD. We're saying this is a type badge class. And the name is something similar you'll see in the documentation for open badges, the name open awesome robotics badge, the description and image of the badge. Issuer, we can come back to this at some other point because this issuer could be the same or a different issuer than the issuer of the verifiable credentials. This might come up today, but we can pause on it if we don't get to it. But then there's criteria and the tags, some property alignments. And then down here, what we have a little bit different is we have evidence, which in the open badges was part of the overall assertion. What we're doing here, and I believe I got it right, and as part of what we've been discussing is evidence is in reference to the has credential. So I'm sorry, the credential subject, not has credential. Because the has credential part describes would essentially be the badge class, right? The content of the open badge being issued as a verifiable credential. On slide 8, I'm gonna go through all of these and then we can just talk about it all. On slide 8, I just put some primary comparison points. So on the left, a verifiable credential subject can have an array of claims with multiple recipients. And right now there are no actual attributes for education in verifiable credentials, just some example attributes that are in the data model. On verifiable credentials with a badge class, we are issuing to one recipient and one claim. And there are already a bunch of open badges attributes where we can describe this claim. So these already exist, there's context for this. And we can actually add to this. So for instance, one of the properties we would like to add as part of the Open Badge 3.0 proposal, what we're suggesting is something called achievement type, which also aligns with IMS Global's comprehensive learning record, right? The CLR, which people normally call it, is there's this achievement type. And then you can add a type of this list of achievements, these strings associated with a badge, which we never had in badges before, which I think is pretty great, actually. Somebody's been in badges for a while because, there's always been this whole like, oh, a badge is something like small, it can't be very significant, and it's just this one thing. But actually, open badge could always have been anything, right? It could have been any of these things and others. So I think adding this type will actually add a lot of power to badges. Okay, so I'm going to pause there. So that those are the only slides that I'm showing today, just so we can talk about this aspect, this part of open badges and verifiable credentials. I'm going to stop sharing right now.
And Eric is on the queue.
Awesome.
Hey, Eric. Sorry, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, so can you explain the part that you mentioned about the IMS Global CLR and how the achievement type works with that? Because aren't they, isn't open badges that spec and the IMS Global CLR spec totally different things? So how do they work together? And I guess, could you just dive a little deeper into that?
I can, and I think there are folks here who have more experience with the CLR, but I'm gonna take a stab at it and then let folks jump in here. So an open badge was first, right? It's about 10 years old, that specification, and described a single achievement. And it had, open badge 2.0 has basically three aspects, main aspects, right? It has an assertion. Inside of assertion, there's reference to a badge class. That badge class references an issuer. A CLR is intended to be a collection of achievements that are published. Any of those achievements could be open badges. So it is actually an array of achievements. So what would be great is if they actually got more harmonized. So if a CLR has an achievement type, it would be an array of achievements. That each achievement would be, say, in a CLR, if it was an open badge, that specific achievement in the array would be badge, right? But it could also be something else. It could be a degree or something else. So in open badges, what we're saying is you can deliver a single achievement, like a single degree and a single certificate as within the open badge specification.
So would it also be correct to say that many open badges as VCs that are a combination of degrees, certificates, you know, et cetera, all of those VCs in your wallet equal a CLR, or is it something?
No, different? It's something different. So what we're not talking about yet in CLR, which will be talked after we figure out this open badges part at IMS, is what does a CLR version of a VC look like? But what you could do is you could take open badges as verifiable credentials and present them. So the learner could present them together as their achievements. But the CLR right now mostly is from a, and this is where someone else may jump in, because the CLR can be presented by a learner as it is, as one set of achievements too. So that is something else. But right now, well, I think it might be awkward right now to put verifiable credentials inside of a CLR. I think people are trying to do it, but I think we should pause on that and do it right as we get to that stage. That's my opinion on it anyway. Did I confuse you even more with that answer, Eric?
I still have some questions, but I'll let the next person.
Okay, so. Well, we can get back to it if you want. Anthony?
Sorry, I was talking into the ether. So two questions. First of all, in terms of the properties you were showing under credential subject, is this the idea that this is what a badge class would look like in a VC? Or do you foresee that some of these properties could be universal for any verifiable credential in education? Then the second comment is in terms of, let's say, referring to the image that represents the badge, I'm just wondering aloud if that belongs inside the, inside the credential subject, or possibly in some kind of display properties tag one level higher.
So we are only talking about open badges, not VC edu broadly. We are specifically saying this is what it would look like with open badges in a VC. And right now, the image property for an open badge is in the badge class. So that's all we're discussing right now. Very simply, this is the work that's being proposed at IMS Global, not VC Edu. But it's applicable, obviously. We would like folks in VC Edu to have a look at this and have some thoughts and let us know what you think about this. Does that make sense, Anthony?
It does.
Okay. Eric, let's see, I'm looking at the queue here. I go. Juan, did you want to jump in?
No, I'm good.
You're good? Okay. Andy?
Hi, Carrie. In the example with multiple credential subjects, is it important that the essentially the recipient be different? In other words, could you have multiple credential subjects all with the same recipient in a single VC?
In a VC, I believe you could, but not an open badge as a VC.
Okay. Right. So I got it. Okay.
I wanted to make a comparison between these two, which is why I showed the VC example.
Got it. But you would recommend that when it's open badges, you not do that. You don't
That's
do.
Right.
Okay, great.
That's right. Because open badges is simply one claim to one recipient by one issuer. So that is why it is one single focus there. I know that folks are very interested in having multiple claims within a VC, and I know that's going to come up in a future call. That's just not what today is about.
For sure. Yeah, I think it would have been actually, it would have confused me at least if you could do that. So I'm glad you are. Thanks.
Great. Thank you. Nate?
Hey, yeah, just to respond to Andy there. Andy, I think if you read the VC spec, I think it is technically possible to do that, to put two different claim sets in a VC where the ID is the same between them, and you're basically making two different sets of claims about the same entity. I suppose that a standards body or something could recommend that approach would be valid, that you essentially want to express multiple credentials all signed under a single bundle. But if you think about what you lose by doing that, you lose the ability for the recipient or anyone to express only one of those credentials at a time in a verifiable sense. If you wanted to include them in a verifiable presentation to prove the credential that you have, you would have to present them together. You would not have the capability of presenting them apart. And I think if we wanted to achieve a capability sort of in like a transcript-like use case, where there are a set of credentials that do go together, and it is important at certain times to be able to see that entire set has been delivered in whole, I don't think this is the approach that I would recommend using in order to accomplish that use case. I would probably recommend just sort of wrapping each credential that is independently verifiable inside some broader structure, which potentially could be a verifiable presentation, or it could be just another VC that includes, you know, several others with a different schema.
Exactly. Thank you. Marty?
Yeah, so I just wanted to, one, great work, the inclusion of achievement type, I think is hugely valuable in kind of being able to bring these things together. And I will say that, you know, based on the guidance of this group, there's a complex credential work group, subgroup that we've been working through discussing, you know, what those multi-expression complex credentials look like. So if anyone is interested in joining that, please reach out to me and I'll happily invite you. And then I'm curious, just from the group's understanding, we hear a lot about verifiable presentation. I just haven't seen it. And so, you know, utility requires that, you know, then you embed a VC inside a VC, which is not that hard. Then you can re-express it individually. Again, not elegant, but timely. And so just curious how the group thinks about verifiable presentations or any examples of that out there in the field?
Totally. Kim's in the queue, so she has a brief answer for this. Marty, can let her go.
Yeah, and we're going to save a more complete treatment to another call. I think the only other person I might ask to chime in would be Juan, who's been working on these through the VC HTTP API groups. But essentially, the verifiable presentation is a way to repackage and prove control over identifiers in the embedded verifiable credentials. And there are different depending on the signature suites that you're using, that's where you can also start doing more interesting selective disclosure kinds of work. But you can think of it as a way to just bundle a set of credentials together and say, also prove control over it. And I'll call on Juan, I see him.
Yeah, so I think VPs have always been a little less standardized than VCs. So some people's VPs look like a VC and some get a little more creative. But I think the main thing is that, like Nate was pointing out, there's what is allowed by the spec, and then there's a separate question of like what's realistic for interoperability or portability. So sometimes there are default assumptions made by lots of people that you wouldn't be breaking spec to vary from, but it might make it harder to interoperate if you did. And one of those is like a VP is signed by the holder, and it signs over the contents, a challenge, and with the holder's key material. And how the VCs relate to each other is a little underspecified. I mean, some people have been trying to specify it, but it may be in a way that isn't really universal enough to be helpful. So I think the thing there, I mean, the general assumption is that, you know, the use case that most people, the assumptions most people bring to every VP use case is that the subject of at least one of the credentials is the holder signing them. And I think some of the more hotly contested corner cases are VPs where the presenter who holds all the credentials is the subject of none of them. And so that might be maybe an unusefully academic answer. But it's what I got.
Yeah, makes sense. Thanks, Juan.
And Carrie, just real fast, there's, as you can see in the comments, there's a lot of extra stuff going on. And I think we'll come back to that later, because certainly when it comes to packaging up a set of verifiable credentials, it gets interesting. I think one of the reasons we wanted to defer this discussion is in line with why we're focusing on open badges first, just to sort of pick something very concrete and specific that we can make more progress on before getting into the more complicated cases.
Yeah, exactly. We were just hoping to work on this like one simple aspect, because we know there are a lot more complex cases, and that presenting one open badge is very different than presenting more than one amongst many other credentials. And when we started looking at all of this, and especially with the learning and employment record wrapper, we were trying to figure out, okay, let's just really sort of focus, because we know that much more could happen in this space. But we know that this is a good solid spec that a lot of people understand and are already using. So it makes for good discussion. It could actually lead into these other points. So it's really great to see the discussion in the chat, so that we know how to head in the direction of this group and what to discuss. Do any folks have any sort of questions, other questions about, the properties of open badges, badge class, and has credential and how that works? I know many of you do already understand open badges, but I just want to make sure that I will share that again. Put it up here. This isn't a complete open badge, but it has quite a bit of what could go into an open badge in the badge class. Okay. Well, then there was a discussion that I was going to pause on, but we have a bunch of time here, so I might as well get into it a little bit. No, Marty's there. Marty, please go for it.
Sorry, I had one. I didn't jump on the button fast enough. In the evidence, is there going to be a consideration for attachments, or how are you thinking about that?
I didn't realize I was muted. I don't think so. We haven't gotten to that discussion yet, so I don't have a definitive answer on that. But I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay.
You know, we can't answer questions here about sort of like what scope will IMS select for what open badges becomes, but we can talk about the generic sense in verifiable credentials community about if we have a known relationship between a credential subject and this sort of has evidence claim, there are other properties in schema.org that can be used to define evidence. And so if there's a use case for attachments, you know, you might want to go through a standards body to bring that up there, or we might come up with a very unofficial approach here, because schema.org does have properties such as like full text or something like that of a creative work, and evidence is based on creative work. So we can draw, you know, extra stuff if we want, if there's like a file link. I definitely encourage small file sizes inside of credentials if possible. So you might have some sort of like hash link approach that would be useful. Sorry to jump the queue.
Yeah, there's definitely, I mean, there's definitely a use case, but I agree 100%, Nate, there's a lot of size constraints out there as you traverse different networks, especially whenever you're repackaging and re-signing with DIDs within that arena. So just curious about how everyone's thinking about that, or how we, you know, influence or at least understand best practice as everyone's thinking about it. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Bernie and Nate. You know, not that long ago, there was a really great discussion on the CCG call about embedding data in PDFs. And I don't know when that was, but since Kim and Juan are here, I mean, do you have any thoughts on embedding evidence in verifiable credentials, you know, broadly speaking? Or about baking data into baking, but embedding data into graphics or images or files?
Oh, I mean, on the general evidence side, I mean, nothing really specific. We've made some approaches in the past around sort of different visual representations, but I would say nothing very mature enough to really warrant discussion right now. We can get into that later. Juan, do you have anything?
I'm not sure I understood the question. Was the question about linking to external files in the evidence document, or was it more generally about ways of getting a visual representation to travel with the VC?
Yeah, sorry, Juan. It was both. It was about embedding data. Like, we have an evidence property of open badges, and it was about including not just a link or a URL to the data, but also like embedding an evidence, like an image or something like that. But also, I sort of correlated that to embedding VC data into a file. And with open badges, we also have this history of calling badge baking, where you can like deliver a badge with data inside of it, which the badge itself, right now they're images, but sometimes they could be evidence, right? So I put them together, but they are two separate things.
Okay.
But yeah, I would imagine like keeping VC size small would say it's probably not a great idea right now to embed like photos and files into a VC. Is that true?
Yeah, I think that's generally the consensus. I think that the issue with what Marty's saying in the chat here, like linking to an IPFS location, is pretty good if you can pin the IPFS and sort of ensure the long-term stability of that URL. My concern always with embedding links to static contents is that, you know, the signature breaks if that link breaks. In terms of embedding. So there has been a lot of talk about other ways to keep visual information aligned, sort of external to a VC. There is some weird stuff happening in Diff with visual stuff being sort of a verifier side maintained resource. But yeah, sorry, I may be going down rabbit holes.
No, that was okay. It's great to hear your understanding of what's going on in the ecosystem about this. There's a lot of chat going on in here, and I haven't been following along. Kim, if you're following along, do you mind sort of pulling folks in on this discussion?
Yeah, we don't want to talk about this anymore.
Okay, let's move on.
Anthony proposed to, let's see. No need to apologize. We're just, trying to keep things back to the original. Let's see. So, Anthony, can I call on you? Because, we had an agenda focused on open badge structure plus.
Yeah, sure. So, because I'd like to make sure that we deal with Kerry's slides and that we close them today. First of all, Kerry, would you mind bringing the slides back up? It's a lot easier when I know it's challenging on a single monitor. Let's go back to the slide with the credential subject structure, first of all. I think the question to the group, so if we're looking under the credential subject and the way that has been proposed to move badge class on the credential subject, does anybody have any comments on this? Does anyone have issues they think that this could create, or problems, or do we think that this would actually be quite a good way to move forward in terms of a VC as an open batch? Let's start there. Go ahead, Kim.
Yes, I lost, where was the, oh, can we keep that up? Because there was a, where did the achievement type go? I'm just not remembering where that was.
Was that? Yeah, put it in this example. Let me put it in the other example.
Yeah, that was going to be my second question then, to focus on the achievement type. If you prefer, we can focus on the achievement type first.
It is in this example here, sorry. So it is type and then achievement type. This one is just a batch in this example.
And maybe stay on this a second. So achievement types. So this one is just usual extensible through, well, JSON-LD, you get to define what you mean by, or you get to, like, badge is defined somewhere in the context listed above, I'm guessing.
Yeah, so this is an open badge type of verifiable credential.
Okay.
An achievement type would be in the context for open badges V3.
Okay. Okay.
As part of a badge class.
Okay, great. Yeah, this looks good. But could you keep it here?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Sorry about that.
Okay, I see Keith in the queue.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of conversation before around this schema has credential. I thought I understood it, but then I guess when we talked about some of the new, what this spec was looking towards, and I kind of lost context again. I mean, first of all, it doesn't seem like this is normally how schemas are represented in the VC specification. I mean, normally there's a different block where you represent schema and you provide a URL to it. But more importantly, I mean, mostly within VCs, if you declare you have a VC and you're subject to the VC, that, you mean, you basically, you're implicitly saying that this person has this credential. So why would you even need to reference this reference back to schema.org has credential thing?
That's an excellent question. I'm going to defer to Nate is still here, because Nate can work on this a bit before I got too involved, as much involved as I am now. So Nate, would you mind?
Sure, yeah, I can take a quick stab. So first of all, the usage of the word schema here on the screen is not the same as the usage of the schema to describe the schema of this whole verifiable credential. The schema here is just a reference to the schema.org namespace, which contains the the property has credential. And so the credential example that you're looking at here makes one simple, well, couple claims, makes an evidence claim and a credential, has credential claim. The has credential claim is sort of the meat and potatoes of what we've been talking about in this group for the last couple months, which is the idea that there is a defined achievement and that the subject of this credential has that achievement. They have met the criteria of a, that has been defined by the credentials creator. You know, it's a bundle of criteria, educational opportunity, maybe an image, metadata. It's all this defined thing. Like, here is a degree in computer science, a bachelor's of science, you know, in computer science specifically. That could be a defined credential. And we're making the claim that this credential subject has that thing. And so if you wanted to express what is the schema of this credential, that would be what you're saying, is that this is a defined achievement credential where there is a has credential relationship sort of at its core. And then the properties of the specific credential that this learner has, this is an example drawn from IMS Open Badges, where which has the vocabulary for all those different properties, mostly drawn from the schema.org vocabulary as well. Hope that helps.
I mean, I would just say, like, every VC that we issue today has content in it, and we don't have this. I mean, we issue out degrees, we issue out diplomas today as VCs using VC attributes per the VC spec, and we don't need to have this has credential thing. So if we're trying to align open badges to VCs, why do we need this thing when it's, to me, it's no different. It's just a different type of payload. But you're trying to do the same thing. I'll end there. Thank you.
I'll make only one brief response and then we can go back to the queue. That the generic concept of a defined achievement is powerful, and a defined achievement that has a different type and has common representation and ability to be serialized across many different types of that achievement is a powerful concept. And so if you had eight different schemas to represent eight different credential types, one being degree, one being certificate, one being volunteer opportunity, you know, all these different things that have common attributes, such as criteria for completion, and the notion that the creator of this thing is the entity that can confer this on you. If you did those all in different ways, then you've got to build consumer software to handle all of those different schemas. Whereas if you build all of these different use cases with one common defined credential schema, that's pretty powerful in terms of building an ecosystem where it's affordable to build consumer software.
Okay, thanks, Nate, for being short. I believe Kim is next.
Actually, Nate addressed what I was going to cover. I see Eric on the queue. Did we cover what Eric's question was?
No, I just was going to ask, for is there like a use case document tying back to when this open badge type of model would be used, like just for K-12, higher ed, you know, Coursera like courses, you know, is this whole discussion tied back to a set of real world examples that we discussed earlier that I missed?
This is Carrie. I'll take that. Open badges is a decade old spec that started at Mozilla Foundation and moved over to IMS Global in 2017. And it can be used for all of those things. So there are like 10 years worth of use cases and examples. We could probably pull some up, but all of those that you mentioned are true. They are used for everything from after school programs to recognizing courses to recognizing certificate programs. Really, it runs the gamut, and they really are used to recognize one single type of achievement or skill that could happen like anywhere at any time. So it's very broad in education, occupational applications.
I see. So the idea here is that we get this sort of nomenclature right, and then if I'm a student in the fifth grade graduating, then I would get one of these for that achievement. If I'm completing a course in college, I would get one of these. Or if I completed a course on Microsoft Learn, I'd get, you know, a VC with this type of data object that outlines what this achievement is. And like that whole system is based on what we're talking about now, or is there a big looming CLR type of other spec that we're not talking about now that totally changes what I just mentioned.
That's right. So what we're talking about, see, I don't know if you can see that I've highlighted it inside here, is the IMS Global Open Badges specification that describes one achievement. And the CLR specification is a separate specification, but open badges can be inside of a CLR as a single achievement that are listed in a CLR.
I see. Yeah. And a CLR would be its own VC. That's like a single VC with lots of different achievements as line items.
That's to be discussed. That's a potential possibility.
Okay.
Maybe this is a good time to take my own spot on the queue. First of all, I would like to just reinforce what Nate said about the achievement type, in the sense that understanding what the HAS credential is actually representing has, I could go on about use cases all afternoon. It's a very, very, very useful feature because it allows us to explain if this is a badge, if it's an assessment, if it's an entitlement. And as we move further along, it would also allow us to relate these concepts to each other. Maybe we wouldn't necessarily want to, let's say, specify the relations ourselves, but it opens up those possibilities. To answer a little bit more the question on where is this asked for, more specifically in the use cases, and why are we focusing on this? The reason we are doing this is, firstly, as Kerry said, I mean, open badges is an established standard. It has a very strong open source community behind it. And, you know, you can't do anything in this space without treating open badges. But secondly, open badges have the lovely feature that they are relatively simple. So starting with an open badge and figuring out what an open badge could look like is a good way to move the discussions forward about what a basic verifiable credential for education moves forward. In the meantime, Marty's group has started to work on the complex credentials and is trying to figure out then how, let's say, these things would work with more complex descriptions on the basis of this work, and we'll slowly begin to bring this back to the main group once we, let's say, finalize the open badge work. So I just wanted to, let's say, remind of this approach, because let's say there's a logic there of building it in this way, and isn't really about preferring open badges, but it really is a matter that, let's say, open badges being so foundational also give us a good foundation to move their work forward.
That was well said, Anthony. Thank you very much. I can't see the queue, so if someone could let me know who might be next.
Keith, why don't you just speak your comment? It's a lot easier, I think.
So I think, you know, I totally get the need for achievement types, and I echo that, the ability to group badges. But then I guess the question would have been, why don't we use the type fields provided within VCs? Because I think that would, you know, so you can in the context, you could have a listing of types, and then you could actually list out the type of credential in a type field. And then, you know, that would make it much easier for a standard like Presentation Exchange to consume that type, right? Because I think, you know, Presentation Exchange and the input descriptor allows you to specify, well, it's pretty open, but it makes a lot of sense that you would put type in there. I think some companies are already doing it that way instead of schema. So why not move more towards a type construct instead of this HAS credential achievement construct, which still seems like something new to me, like I've not really seen before, where I have seen types before.
May I call on Nate to answer that? Because I believe you had already answered this in the chat. Or if Nate isn't available, maybe Kerry could go.
Nate seems to be unmuted, I think. Hmm. Yeah, but we should carry as well.
Okay, the comments that was written was that I'm not sure which way around it is, but that one of the, I'm trying to find it in the chat history, but a pair, one of the concepts only supports IRIs while the other one supports references to formalized authority tables was the answer Nate had written earlier.
I don't know if I can speak to what Nate wrote about that. I'm sorry.
Sorry, guys, I'm on vacation and I was making coffee and breakfast. What I was mentioning is that achievement type is a specific term that originated in IMS Global CLR, and that term expects a string, and there is a particular defined vocabulary in CLR. It's likely that open badges will sort of pick that up kind of as is. It's an optional property. The overall concept of credential type is also a useful concept. But again, we have this idea of a sort of reusable defined credential structure where there are several different types of credential that can use the same schema and how that gives us benefits for cost of implementation. And sure, yeah, it would make great sense if you wanted to put it in the type property. And so, you know, IMS, I'll have a conversation about this in the Open Badges work group. And maybe when the achievement type feature is discussed, maybe people will say, well, now that we're here in a world of verifiable credentials, it makes more sense to just have three types in the credential type, and we'll do verifiable credential, then open badge, then some other IRI for the ultimate achievement type two layers down the schema. However, we're defining the relationship here between the credential definition and what its type is. And the ability to be able to express credentials of different types in the common schema, I think that has a lot of benefits, and I'm really interested in exploring building an ecosystem out around that idea. So I see that there is a useful difference between the credential type and the achievement type.
Nate, I'm not sure that you fully answered the question, because I think if I'm not mistaken, the question is about having type and achievement type both within the has credential, rather than the... Because if you look at what's on screen under ID, we have type and
I see what you're saying. Type. Yeah, one's an IRI and one's not. It's the difference that we start with. I mean, it's just plucking a term from CLR in the way that CLR did it. It may be that if this group advises that be done a different way, that the Open Badges work group, I mean, we've got representatives here on the call, we'll hear it. And I think it certainly makes sense to maybe say, oh, okay, we can have an array of types in the credential type property, and the second one will just be an IRI for the concept of badge. Totally reasonable. Excellent. But as Jim says in the chat, it makes sense that there's a technical type and a conceptual type, and that those are not conflated. There's an argument to be made that direction as well.
Yeah, these are all good points. And it's the first time we've actually really discussed talking about this achievement type with open badges specifically in this group too. So it is great to hear all of those perspectives. Are there other folks in the queue right now?
Queue is currently empty.
Okay. Anthony, did you have thoughts on where you wanted to take it from here? We have about 10 minutes left.
I didn't have any particular thoughts where we wanted to take it further from here, honestly. So I think either over to you, or we could open it for just general comments.
Yeah, why don't we do that? Does anybody have any general comments about this as it stands? I'll leave this up here for now. Go ahead.
Can I jump in? Phil Barker.
Oh, yes, please.
I've just got a question. We a while back, we spent quite a few calls discussing sort of high level conceptual things that might be covered by verifiable credentials, honing down on three in the end, which were, I can't entirely remember, but activities, credentials, stroke qualifications, and a third one, which I think was something like affiliations. Where do they fit into this type of model? And, you know, where is the information that this is a credential stroke qualification?
Before I answer that, Anthony, you put yourself in the queue. Is that an answer to Phil's question?
Well, I was actually going to ask something similar, and I can answer it while at it. Under this model, these would be different, what are called treatment types here. I think when we finish all the work, we might need to go through the naming of things, but I really don't want to fuss about naming of things right now. To answer your question directly, an achievement type could describe an activity, it could describe an entitlement, it could describe a qualification. I believe, yes, there are some examples here. My other question, which was really cherry, is if you were going to go in this direction with open badges, what I have been wondering to myself aloud is that would you need a type called badge? Because in the sense that we would have, let's say, this new badge class structure that, especially if it included achievement type, could be used to describe pretty much any educational concept. And a badge isn't an educational concept per se. A badge is a way of describing educational concepts, unless I'm getting very confused. I would say the badge would contain one of all these other things. Now, I say this from the position of not being an open badge expert, so I might have some conceptual confusion over there, but would appreciate it if you could clarify.
Sure. Well, this achievement type comes from the CLR. So it is a property of the CLR. And this is so that if a badge is one of the achievements in a CLR, it can be indicated as such. And so we are proposing right now, just to start this discussion at the working group, to use the same properties that are already being used in a CLR. And overall, though, Anthony, an open badge is both a technology, but also a description of an achievement, right? So it is both at the same time. But yes, this specific property, we would still need badge because it is needed in CLR. And if we're using the same properties and that's what decided on, then we would keep that in the list. And in a way, I think it actually would be great if we kept it in the same. And we do it this way, as others have said, because if I have in my verifiable presentation, or just like generally in the world, I have a VC that is a badge, but I also have a VC that is a credential, there could be a difference between the two. And what I don't see on this list for CLR, though, is micro-credential. And I've noticed over the years that there's been what I think, in my opinion, is a conflation between open badges and micro-credentials. And this assumption that every open badge is a micro-credential, which I don't think is true. A micro-credential is its own type of credential that can be represented by an open badge. So that opens up a whole philosophical discussion that probably goes beyond discussing some of the specifics here.
I'm next on the queue, but I will only take one sentence because I see others with it. From my personal perspective, I very much support the idea of the achievement type, but I would have significant reservations about taking the CLR list of achievement types as even recommended. We tried doing something with this list in Europe and it caused us nothing but pain and we gave up trying to work with it. I could speak more at length another time as to the reasons of that. On the queue that there are comments from Keith, which I would urge you to say orally. And I also see Philip on the queue. So I will put Philip on the queue first. And then Keith, if you don't mind, justify your chat verbally. I think it will be a lot easier.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that in the context of badging, I think one of the reasons it has largely been redefined, if you will, in colloquial use as a micro-credential is twofold. One is that in doing so in the academic world, it moves it away from assertions that have credit involved, which mean a whole other round of complicated political discussions with institutions, because only certain parts of institutions are allowed to assign and award credit. And so one of the reasons why that open badge took on that connotation was to separate it from the things that typically are under the control of a provost and a registrar. So there's that history that has to be considered in this. And the second is that the open badge, in one sense, was defined initially to be as applicable to the granularity of the issuer as they wished. So you could define an open badge to be a very, very tiny thing, or an open badge to be the culmination of a several years worth of work, because the badge itself had no other way of providing anything about the magnitude of the achievement and the work that was involved in it. And as a consequence, that was both a plus and a minus, because it meant that people receiving the badges had no real sense of, is this a big piece of work, or did the person just show up for class that day, versus this is a PhD. And I'll leave it at that.
Okay, thank you very much, Philip. I'm going to pass the floor to Keith.
I just echo what I said. I think I've been talking with Carrie and others, is like, you know, so let's say we come up with this standard, you know, I think, you know, and we're interested in this, but we have to build, you know, let's say POCs or things like that. So we would most likely use common, you know, standards as we see them developing. And, you know, in the US, at least, presentation exchange is emerging as the dominant standard for making proof requests for these type of credentials. So I think my question always comes back to, like, how are we going to approach that? Like, today, proof requests often ask for things like schemas or for types, which is, you know, still a lot of complexity about it. But now we're adding like another layer of complexity, this concept of achievement type. And I can definitely see the US having achievement types, and the Europe having achievement types, and Australia having achievement types, because no one can agree on what achievement types are or what the list should be. And I think it's just, you're adding like another layer into complexity for how a verifier would actually get this data. And I understand we're not, like, there's a lot of runway, we need to figure out this stuff, but I think these are just some of the early questions to start maybe thinking about.
I see Kim on the queue. Kim, I believe you will be next on the queue and also have the honors of closing the meeting.
Okay, great. Yeah, I would just ask that Keith provide some specific structural examples of what he's talking about. I'm familiar with the presentation exchange spec. And so, you know, I think I'm not really seeing the comment about, like, how do you say it? I'm not seeing how anything that we're doing here precludes or makes presentation exchange more difficult. I mean, maybe if it's a certain interpretation that he's making of that, Keith, you're making about how it would be used in presentation exchange. So I was wondering if you could just write up something to show what you mean. And we could, in fact, talk about that in the next meeting, or if you want to send it to the mailing list, that would be good too. So I'm very also very interested in using these with presentation exchange, but I'm not really seeing the specific problem. So.
Okay, I see a lot of consensus from the group on this. It is 6 p.m. CET European time. I'm sorry, I don't know Pacific. Thank you, everyone, for joining the call. See you next week. Hopefully, we will kick the tires on the Jitsi. Thank you very much for a super productive call.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.